Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings. We all love a high-scoring NFL game, but at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He is T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, let's talk about everyone's favorite topic. Let's talk offensive line. The program got a new addition this week, not till 23, but a commitment. Was it Joshua Miller from Virginia? Yeah. What could you tell us about him?
So again, Phil Troutwine is going after big, physical, powerful football players or guys that have the profile of nasty run blockers. So that's the first thing you see with Joshua Miller. He had a tweet, Powerline 23 was his hashtag on the commitment. So that's what they want for Penn State football fans that watched this past season. If you think Penn State's okay with the results, they are not. And there is a significant effort underway in recruiting to change the makeup of the offensive line from a size and talent perspective of what are their initial skills. That being said, I don't think Josh Miller is a bad pass protector. I don't think he's a bad athlete. I just think that his primary calling card is run blocking, power, and moving people off the ball.
And he also, his final two apparently were Penn State and Clemson, which is a good sign, especially for those fans who take a look and just see, hey, he's just a three-star guy. Might be a good time to ask you about that. I've learned if the team really wants a kid, I'm not as concerned about that 3- and 4-star assessment. But it might be a good time to ask T. Frank, when an assessment's made like this, what kept him from being a 4-star at least so far?
Well, first off, that's why I go and I watch the film. I don't just watch the highlight film. I go and find as many full games as possible to see the complete profile of the player to find out some of that information. And sometimes it can just be recruiting services haven't gotten there yet, where you have to evaluate every prospect that every school offers and kind of build a big board. And if you haven't had the time in the class of 23, if you're still wrapping up the class of 22, to get to every player in the nation, there's a bit of a time lag between where teams are, and Clemson and Penn State clearly are targeting this player from Virginia. And then kind of getting an updated report on those guys, which is why I go and I watch the film. He plays right tackle in high school, and he's going to be a guard at the next level. So there is some translation in watching his skills. He is not a great edge protector. Going up against good defensive ends with speed, he struggled, but he's not going to go up against defensive ends with speed in college, unless they do the play-action power O, which I hate, where you pull the guard to the edge. I hate when teams do that, but that's the only time he's going to be blocking defensive ends, for the most part. He is an athletic guy for somebody that's big, but he is playing a little bit out of position, so there's a little bit of projection. But I think even in those situations, I see good pass protecting, technical skills. He's taught very well, and he plays with good early fundamentals for a high school football player. So a lot of positives in his corner, and there's no translation about his size. 6'4", 328 pounds. This is not a guy that has to develop. He just has to refine. And good body weight. Not a guy like Nate Bruce that we saw previously that needed to get himself into shape. This kid has good body composition, can obviously get stronger as he gets older, but that number isn't going to fluctuate. It's just going to change composition.
And I got to think offensive linemen are about the hardest players to evaluate for schools, because we see so much disparity between their star ranking and then the reality. So we need to keep that in mind also. All right, T. Frank, let's get back to the current team, this team that we just saw. As fans, we've been very disappointed. It seems like the run blocking just hasn't been there, whether you blame the offensive line completely or put some of it on the running backs. We know it's still been an issue. And then it seems like some of these sacks are just confusion on the offensive line. Two guys blocking, one defender, another defender coming free. Now that we've completed the season, or at least the regular season, give me your assessment of the 21 offensive line.
So it's a complicated thing. It's never an easy assessment. A couple things that I've been delving into this week, some of the reporting some of my coworkers have done about some situations along the offensive line that may have been letting the team know what was going on. The opposing team, some tells and some signs that were helping the opponent diagnose the play pre-snap. So that's not good. I would also say Rashid Walker was a severe disappointment as far as what he was billed for and what he ended up being this year. So when your best offensive lineman is not playing up to that level, that's a problem. And watching him over the years and kind of seeing some of the stuff off the field, on the field, trying to build a profile of a guy and what his makeup is, I kind of put a lot of that on him. He's got all the talent in the world. Nobody can make you work hard. And no one can make you want it that badly. Now, I just didn't see some of those things on film that he was completely dialed in. I may be wrong. I never want to make 100% diagnosis on somebody's effort, because that is, I think, unfair. Whenever to get out on the football field, you've got to give a lot of effort to begin with. But to be great, it takes another level. Then on the other side, literally, of the offensive line, you had some young players that had growing pains. I said this before the season. You've got two guys that are starting for real for now for the first time in Juice Scruggs and Caden Wallace. And they had growing pains. They had some mistakes, some issues, especially we talked about stunt and blitz pickup of a player early in the season that they got corrected. And then what we saw coming out of the end of the season is maybe some guys were out of position where Juice Scruggs would be better at center, but you didn't want to start a guy for the first time at center, so Mike Miranda played there. Mike Miranda, I think, does a better job of down blocking and combo blocking when he can move his feet, as opposed to having the power out of his stance. And that's the difference between playing center and playing guard. So I think if you correct some of those things going forward, you've got some potential and some hope. And then Eric Wilson, I thought he was exactly what he seemed to be on film, of a guy that was a good pass protector and was a technical run blocker, but not an overwhelming athlete or an overwhelming physical talent. So had you had some other things break your way on the offensive line, that wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But Salim Wormley didn't play because he was injured, and he was probably your most physical interior offensive lineman from what we had heard. So it was a mixed bag of problems that all led to what you saw on Saturdays. And I think going forward, there's some more hope that some of those things will get better as Penn State restocks its offensive line room and they go more aggressively into the transfer portal to find mature football players to try and help that issue.
Landon Tangwall got a lot of play in the Rutgers game. What did you see from him? Did you see enough from him that you think, all right, he's ready to play next year?
Yes. Yes, I did. I think so. The interesting thing to me is where, because Olafishanu is the guy we've heard the most about as far as a player that got run from coaches and other players when asked who's standing out in practice. And we heard about him in the preseason, we heard about him in the middle of the season, and we heard about him when I asked Caden Wallace about this last Friday during Bowl Media Day. And I asked, just finally, I'm like, okay, we've heard so much about him, we haven't seen him, but what makes him so special? And Caden Wallace said that he was athletic, and he's very smart, and he picks up techniques really well. He can work on it in a practice, and all of a sudden, he's got it. So that development, if he's that athletic, 6'6", he's a big dude. He seems to be the guy that Penn State wants to play at left tackle, even though Landon Tangwall, and this is the long point of what I'm trying to make, Landon Tangwall has been talked about at every other position except for left tackle. James Franklin will couch every positional conversation of Landon and his performance in the Michigan State game or in the Rutgers game of he played really well. We thought he did a good job in the situation. We think he can play other places. So he's, to me, it's telegraphing they want Landon Sangwell to play guard or tackle, and Fashanu is their left tackle of the future. I think we're going to get a good idea of what the actual plan is. The initial plan coming into the bowl game is going to be the initial plan coming out of this season into the off season. That's how I'm reading what we see on January 1st. And to me, the tea leaves say that Tangwall is not going to be the left tackle, which was my evaluation out of high school. I thought he was incredibly talented, one of the best linemen that I had scouted, but just from an athletic profile, a little less athletic than you want at that left position, but could play any other position along the offensive line. So that's along with this is kind of what I'm talking about. If some of these moves in the offseason, you should feel good about that Penn State might be able to finally play guys where they want to play them and not where they have to play them, which is what this year was. There was things that had to be done to get through the season because you only had so many players at tackle, which has been a real problem of recruitment. And that's why Phil Trautwein is here, by the way. I did a deep dive into the tackle recruiting this week on my show, and they had two top 100 players, top 250 players at the tackle or offensive line position over the last 6 years or so, since 2016. Phil Trautwein has two in the last two recruiting classes. So they're making strides in that area, but just like the amount of time it took them to get into this position, it's going to take them time to get out of that position. And it starts with Fashanu and Tangwall and then some of the young guys that are coming in as they develop.
Okay, we looked at this past 21 class team. We looked way ahead to the 23 commitment that just came in. Let's take a quick look at the 322 commits. And what do they have there? And can any of them play in 22?
The only one that I would say should play have a chance to is JB Nelson. He's the Lackawanna transfer. Big, powerful frame, good footwork, super long arms. Like, weird-looking long arms for his size as a guy that's going to play on the interior. And that's a really good thing as far as he's got the power and the violence, and he's got the reach. So he's going to play on the interior for Penn State, and I think that's going to be a bonus as long as his technique, which improved over time at Lackawanna, as long as it continues to improve, because he's got some rough parts of some heel clicking, some lunging, some of that stuff. But when he locks on and really gets under guys, he's got the flexibility, he's got the pad level of strength, the violence, everything you want, and he's a good pass protector. Because again, he played left tackle this past season, and I think he's going to project to the interior.
Very good, T. Frank. That is it for quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We're going to take your questions, and we're going to ask T. Frank.
We all love a high-scoring NFL game, but at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.